afternoon, it's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
It's an electric cold ride around Pizza Hut.
Several downtown businesses were without power this afternoon in Moorhead.
Moorhead State University's health clinic is offering hepatitis vaccines.
An area health department plans to spray for mosquitoes.
The Moorhead State community is mourning the loss of a student and a former first lady.
A Rush man pled guilty to reckless homicide.
In sports, the Reds face off with the Brewers tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. But stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky 32 in Moorhead was shut down for several hours today as crews worked to clean up an accident scene. Several downtown businesses were without power after a man hit a utility pole near Pizza Hut on Flemingsburg Road. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan says only one vehicle was involved in the actual crash and no one was injured.
Apparently he was avoiding another vehicle, left the roadway, hit the electric pole and pretty much, demolished it and knocked all the electric down.
Traffic was diverted onto Old Flemingsburg Road this afternoon during the accident investigation.
The old Haldeman Brickyard on Open Fork Road in Moorhead will play host to the first ever Brickyard Barter Day this Saturday. Attendees will be able to swap goods, but strictly on a barter basis. No cash is allowed. Barter Day organizer Craig Rigsby says he is excited at the possibilities the event could bring.
It's strictly bartering. There is no money exchanging hands except inside our store here if you want to buy a soda or something like that. But out there, it's strictly bartering. You want to buy a chicken, bring a knife.
The event runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. For more information about Brickyard Barter Day, contact Soapbox Willie at 606-780-4043.
Moorhead State University's Counseling and Health Services Department is offering hepatitis A vaccines to students, faculty, and staff. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported Kentucky had the worst outbreak of the virus in the nation in June. Jennifer Trent is a registered nurse who works at the MSU campus clinic. She says everyone should get the vaccine.
There's been over 1,000 cases of Hep A in the state, and usually the state averages about 20 cases a year. And the 1,020 cases is in about an 8-month period. So we've been kind of dealing with folks coming in asking for the Hep A vaccine for several months.
Trent says the state now requires school-age children to get the Hep A vaccine, but most college students remain unvaccinated.
A local health department is planning to spray for mosquitoes. According to LEX 18, the Lexington Fayette County Health Department will conduct mosquito spraying activities in the pre-dawn hours this Thursday. The spraying, which is the first in the city this summer, is due to a high mosquito population found in traps in the 40509 zip code region. Spraying will be done between 3 to 6 a.m. Spraying can only be conducted if certain conditions are met.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
A Moorhead State University student passed away in a Fleming County car accident on Friday night. The student was 18-year-old Raymond Jones. He was traveling on Kentucky 47 with a family member when their car collided with another vehicle. The driver of the oncoming vehicle did not receive any injuries, but his passenger was airlifted to the University of Kentucky Hospital for treatment. The Ledger Independent reports that Jones was pronounced dead on the scene. Jones had hoped to obtain a degree in business administration. He was a graduate of Mason County High School. Moorhead State University confirmed the student's death earlier today. The university has not announced funeral arrangements at this time.
Our station also expresses our condolences as former Morehead State First Lady Wilma Grody passed away in her home on August 18th. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
Wilma Grody, former First Lady to Nelson C. Grody, passed away this past Saturday. She was known for starting the Women's Study Program on Morehead's campus, along with having the Women's Symposium devised in her honor. A celebration of life will be conducted at 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon at First Christian Church in Morehead. A visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with an interment to follow in Lee Cemetery. From WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
A Mason County teenager was killed and two other people were airlifted after an accident in Fleming County on Friday. Kentucky State Police tell the Ledger Independent they were called to the scene of a collision at the intersection of Kentucky 57 and Kentucky 11 in Flemingsburg Friday evening. Upon arrival, officers found that 25-year-old Zachary Rudd of Flemingsburg was traveling west on Kentucky 57, while 40-year-old Raymond Jones of Dover was making a left turn on Kentucky 57 from 11 when their vehicles collided. 18-year-old Raymond Jones was pronounced dead at the scene. 26-year-old Mary Beth Berry of Maysville and Raymond Jones were airlifted to UK Medical Center, and Rudd was not injured in the collision. KSP is continuing to investigate the accident.
A driver involved in a crash that took the life of a Boyd County woman has pleaded guilty to reckless homicide, prompting a 10-year prison sentence. The Daily Independent reports Gilbert Carr, 29, of Rush, accepted a plea deal in early August on charges of reckless homicide and first-degree wanton endangerment. Witnesses said Carr ran a red light near the Kiowa Mall on U.S. 60 in Canonsburg and struck a vehicle driven by Brett Hall, who was life-flighted to St. Mary's Medical Center for treatment. A passenger in the vehicle, Tammy Hall, was treated on scene but died from her injuries. Boyd Circuit Court Judge George Davis sentenced Carr to 5 years in prison for each charge, to run consecutively for a total of 10 years, probated for 5 years.
The man convicted of murdering a Central Kentucky police officer will stay in jail for at least another decade. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
A parole board decided to give John Works a 120-month deferment, meaning he will not be eligible to seek parole again for 10 years. Works was convicted of shooting and killing Harrodsburg police officer Regina Nichols in 1998 as she was responding to a call of a suspicious person outside of a factory. Works was sentenced to life in prison for her murder.
That's Haley Hansen of the Kentucky News Network.
Prestonsburg police say a foot pursuit lasted an hour before they arrested theft suspect. WMKY's Shamori Mosley has the story.
Federal authorities have announced a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of Sean Christie, who is accused of having threatened President Donald Trump and other officials. LEX 18 reports that a federal warrant was issued June 19th for Christie in relation to Facebook threats against Northampton County's district attorney. Christie is also wanted in Pennsylvania on an arrest warrant for burglary, probation violation, and failure to appear for an aggravated assault case. Police believe Christie should be considered armed and dangerous. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Endweza.
Prestonsburg police say a foot pursuit lasted an hour before they arrested a theft suspect. Raji Case of Martin was taken to the Floyd County Jail on charges of theft by unlawful taking and fleeing and evading police. Police tell WSAZ officers responded to a call on South Lake Drive of a man that had allegedly stolen items from several businesses in the area. When police arrived, the suspect was pushing a wooden wheelbarrow. Authorities say he'd stolen that cart from a local business. Case ran to the riverbank area, and that's when an hour-long chase began. Officers say the Prestonsburg Fire Department helped them eventually arrest Case, and the stolen property was returned to the businesses.
Kentucky's Republican governor has lost another round in a legal fight over his efforts to require poor people to get a job to keep their Medicaid benefits. A federal judge in Kentucky today dismissed Governor Matt Bevin's lawsuit, seeking a ruling that his proposed changes to the state's Medicaid program were lawful. Instead, a U.S. district judge sided with a group of Medicaid recipients who were defendants in Bevin's lawsuit. The judge said that Bevin's administration could, quote, protect its interest in another Medicaid-related lawsuit that was heard by a federal judge in Washington, D.C. In that case, the judge blocked Bevin's plan to overhaul the Medicaid program with the work requirements. Medicaid is the joint state and federal health insurance program for the poor and disabled.
Earlier this summer, a federal judge made it temporarily illegal to post blueprints for 3D printable guns online, but the designs were already out there before the ruling. The main concerns for those who oppose 3D guns are that they would be unregistered, more difficult to be picked up by a metal detector, even though all firearms are required to have some form of metal, and anyone could get their hands on one. Benjamin Vandenbroek is the owner of Art Lab 30 Printing in Lexington, rather 3D Printing in Lexington. He has already been asked by two customers to make a 3D printed gun. He says his answer was and always will be no.
A 3D printed gun will very likely explode in your hand, and therefore the real danger is not who's pointing at, but the kid holding it.
Supporters of the measure say it is their First Amendment right to sell or own the 3D gun blueprints, and despite a temporary federal ban, the plans were offered on several websites.
Groups that advocate for reproductive health care say Trump administration proposals to change the Title X programs could limit access to a wide range of birth control options. The controversy comes at a time when polling shows a majority of Kentuckians support efforts to reduce unplanned pregnancies. Katie Solentrop is an all-access EKY partner and vice president of Power to Decide. She says a majority of Kentuckians support policies that improve access to a full range of birth control options for people age 18 and older.
We hear all the time, oh, we're a conservative region and it's cultural that we don't want to address this. But in the polling, people are supportive of efforts to reduce unplanned pregnancy. So how can we have open and honest conversations about what it takes to decide when to get pregnant?
There are 145 Title X funded health centers in Kentucky that serve about 46,000 women. They estimate that they help prevent 15,000 unintended pregnancies each year. Taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the surrounding area. Tonight, thunderstorms are likely throughout the night with a low of 71 degrees and an 80% chance of rain. On Tuesday, thunderstorms likely, high of 78 and a chance of rain at 80%. Tuesday night, partly cloudy skies with possible rainfall and a low of 65 degrees. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 77. And on Wednesday night, a clear skies with low of 54. In Flemingsburg, 83 degrees. In Lexington and Winchester, it's 84. 89 degrees in Ashland and 87 in Inez, 85 in Mount Sterling, and lastly, 86 degrees in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, with the school year kicking off in districts across the Commonwealth, policy experts are calling for more adequate school funding to address achievement gaps and ensure Kentucky children have the tools they need to succeed. Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman has the story.
The school day might look a little different for Kentucky kids this year as districts figure out how to function with fewer dollars. Senior policy analyst with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy, Ashley Spalding, explains that for more than a decade, in order to make room for tax cuts, state legislators and the governor slashed funding for pre-K through 12 education. And when taking inflation into account, it's a 14% cut in total SEEK dollars per student between 2008 and 2019. As a result, she says, districts are facing difficult choices.
Kids might be in larger classes. They may not have the support services that they need. Some schools were having fewer instructional days, a lot of cuts to personnel, not enough money for textbooks, not enough money for repairs to buildings that can really affect kids' health.
SEEK is the core funding in Kentucky for pre-K through 12 education. As the parent of a child in preschool, Robert Ollivan of Louisville says he's worried about how cuts today will impact schools down the road.
Kentucky generally ranks fairly low in terms of various education outcomes, and it's unlikely that we will turn that around by decreasing education funding. So very concerned knowing that it will take a number of years to kind of right the ship, so to speak.
Spalding adds that adequate school funding is crucial for academic success and positive outcomes and cuts are impacting the state's ability to address achievement gaps.
The per-student funding gap between Kentucky's poorest and wealthiest school districts continues to grow. These cuts in state funding put pressure on local school districts to make up the difference, and the poorer school districts are in less of a position to be able to make up the difference.
Kentucky was ranked third worst among states last year in per-student cuts to core funding, and Spalding says the new state budget does not include a meaningful increase to seek funding for 2019. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
It's 4:45 and 86 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Recreation Center offers basketball and racquetball courts, fitness areas, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track, and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures features camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake and Bouldering Wall. Lockers, towel service, group fitness classes, and personal training, day passes, and community memberships are now available for summer 2018. More information at 783-2083.
It's Reds versus Brewers tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Cincinnati travels to Central Division foe Milwaukee tonight. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Reds look to win their fourth straight tonight as they head to Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. Coming off a three-game sweep of the Giants, the Reds send right-hander Homer Bailey to the mound against Brewers right-hander Chase Anderson. Bailey has struggled this year and comes into tonight's matchup with a 1-10 record and a 6.33 ERA, giving up 5 earned runs and 10 hits in his last outing against the Cleveland Indians. Reds third baseman Eugenio Suarez belted his 27th home run yesterday, and he'll look to add to his total tonight against Anderson, who has allowed an NL-leading 24 home runs this season. First pitch at Miller Park tonight is at 8:10. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Morgan County football team has fell on the road during their opening game Friday night. The Cougars played Rowan County, falling 46-12. However, Morgan head coach Mark Easterling says he isn't too worried about the loss.
Internally, we didn't handle some things well. But you know, we're going to get better. That's why I told him we'll very well go. I said, you know, this game won. We got 9 of these things left. We can either learn from this, get a little dose of humble pie, learn, come together a little more as a family and as a ball team, and fix these things.
The Cougars play again next Friday at home. They'll take on Jenkins for a non-conference game at 7:30. In some other area high school football scores for the first week of play around the Bluegrass, the Lewis County Lions fell to Greenup at home 46-7. East Carter beat McGoffin 47-12. Fleming lost to Harrison 47-6. And Harlan County was wiped out by Ashland Blazer 49-6. Louisville says that redshirt freshman sophomore Tobias Little will probably miss the 2018 season after injuring his knee. A brief release from the school stated that Little was hurt in practice, but did not specify which knee or the type of injury. The 6-foot, 248-pound Atlanta native had 27 yards rushing on 9 carries and 1 reception for 24 yards last season. Louisville opens the season September 1st against defending national champion and Associated Press Top 25 preseason number 1 Alabama in Orlando, Florida. Ohio State trustees have set a private Wednesday meeting to talk about the future of football coach Urban Meyer. Meyer has been the subject of an investigation into the handling of domestic abuse allegations against a former assistant coach. Alabama will begin its quest for a second consecutive national championship with a rare three-peat. Alabama is just the second team to be ranked number 1 in the preseason Associated Press Top 25 poll for 3 straight seasons. Alabama received 42 of 61 first-place votes. Number 2 Clemson received 18 first-place votes. Georgia is number 3 and Wisconsin is 4th. The Cactus Bowl is now the Cheez-It Bowl. The Cheez-It Bowl will be played on December 26th at Chase Field in downtown Phoenix. Members of the Maryland football team will wear a helmet sticker with number 79 to honor former teammate Jordan McNair, who collapsed during a practice session in May and subsequently died. And Florida State Athletic Director Stan Wilcox is leaving for the NCAA, filling the job vacated when Oliver Luck left to run the new XFL. The Cincinnati Bengals pulled a 21-13 victory over the Dallas Cowboys on Saturday. Starting quarterback Andy Dalton tells Bengals.com that this Week 2 preseason matchup is still only a starting point.
You want to play well. I think that that's, you always want to do that when you're out there, but it is still a preseason game, and you know, you only get three series, and that's what you're going to judge it off of. You're not going to judge it off a full game. So, you know, there were some good things that happened in there. It wasn't all bad, but we got a couple more preseason games to go before this thing all gets started.
The Bengals kick off Week 3 action this Sunday when they travel to take on the Bills at 4 p.m. Menelik Watson's time in Denver is over. The Broncos placed Watson on injured reserve with a chest injury and intended to release him once he's healthy. That means the Broncos will take a $6.83 million salary cap hit this year. The Tennessee Titans secondary has taken another hit with cornerback Kalen Reed becoming their third straight defensive back to get placed on injured reserve this preseason. Reed joins Jonathan Cyprian and cornerback Ty Smith. The Chicago Bears are uncertain whether outside linebacker Leonard Floyd and tight end Adam Shaheen will be available to start the regular season after suffering injuries Saturday in a 24-23 preseason win at Denver. The Rowland County Ladies Soccer Vikings beat Bluegrass United on Saturday in Woodford County 7-0. Moving to 2-0 this season, Coach Alan Evans says the matchup was a good opportunity.
Bluegrass United is a homeschool community soccer team, and so I think this year is the first year they've allowed homeschools to play high school teams, and it's very difficult for us to get teams and then let alone get Lexington teams. And so Bluegrass United contacted us, and we needed games, and so we said, sure, we'll go up there and play.
The Lady Vikings traveled to Lawrence County tonight for a 7:30 matchup. The Rowland boys team took down Sayre at home on Saturday 2-1, taking the team to 3-1 on the season. The Vikings host West Carter tomorrow at 6:30. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State Soccer Eagles are already 1-1 on the year after this weekend's opening set of games. The Eagles started the season off Friday with a 2-1 victory at Akron. They followed that game up with a 1-0 loss at Pittsburgh. The Eagles continue regular season action when they travel to take on the UK Wildcats at 7:30 Thursday evening. And the Morehead State Volleyball Eagles lost to Bellarmine in their one and only exhibition match of the year Friday, falling 3-2. The Eagles start regular season play Friday at home with an 11 a.m. matchup against St. Francis Brooklyn. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge Friday and Saturday with matches against St. Francis Brooklyn, Bradley, and Hampton. Also, Eagles Soccer welcomes Ball State Sunday at 2 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks neared a new record as investors renewed their bets that trade wars and other geopolitical worries wouldn't derail the bull market, which is set to become the longest rally ever this week. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 89.37 at 25,758.69. The S&P 500 was up 6.92 at 2857.05, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 4.68 at 7821.01. Deal-making activity and falling rates help lift market benchmarks. Netflix shares particularly shown today rising 3.5% after confirming that the company was testing ads on its platform. Nike was also strong, rising 3.1% after it was upgraded by a broker, and that broker has now assigned a price target of $93 a share, and the stock traded around $82 after this was announced. Deal-making, as mentioned, very prominent today in the market action. PepsiCo agreeing to buy SodaStream for $3.2 billion or $144 a share. The agreed price represents a 10.9% premium from SodaStream's closing price on Friday. The deal is expected to close by January, and SodaStream shares rose almost 10%. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods confirmed it was buying Keystone Foods, a chicken processing company, for $2.16 billion in cash. Facebook stock slipped today almost 1% after it was reported that the U.S. government is trying to force the company to break its encryption on the Messages app. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.8% at $66.45 a barrel. Gold was up 1% at $1,196.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.6%. And in Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Shanghai Composite up 1.8% and the Hang Seng index up 1.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and Johnson & Johnson, while the worst performers were Walmart and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Macy's and American Airlines, and the worst performers were Corvo and News Corporation. Turning now to stocks of local interest, with National Global down 41 cents at 84.41, CSX up 8 cents at 73.77, AEP down 28 cents at 72.22, Marathon Petroleum up $1.66 at 78.77, AK Steel up 3 cents at 4.40, and Kroger was up 5 cents to finish at 31.40. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight thunderstorms are likely throughout the night with a low of 71 degrees and an 80% chance of rain. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely again with a high of 78 degrees and an 80% chance of rain. On tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with possible rainfall, low of 65 degrees and a 60% chance of rain. And on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 77 degrees. And on Wednesday night, a clear skies with a low of 54. And on Thursday, sunny skies with a high of 77 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the American Red Cross will sponsor a blood drive from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. tomorrow at the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. A blood donor card, driver's license, or two forms of identification are required at check-in.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling invites you to a birthday celebration for composer Leonard Bernstein at 7 p.m. on Friday, August 24th. Presented by Moorhead State University alumni and featuring his Broadway and classical music compositions. Limited seats are available. Tickets are $20 online at grackentucky.org.
The Gateway Children's Advocacy Center will host a phone-a-thon at the Rowland County Courthouse on Tuesday, August 28th. Proceeds will benefit the Change for Children Capital Campaign. Donations can be made by calling 606-315-6523 on August 28th between noon and 5 p.m.
The American Red Cross will sponsor a blood drive from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Wednesday, August 29th at Fairview High School in Ashland. A blood donor card, driver's license, or two forms of identification are required at check-in.
And a blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at Button Hall Drill Room at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, August 29th and Thursday, August 30th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health.
The Round County Fiscal Court reminds citizens, civic groups, churches, and businesses to properly retire old, faded, or damaged American flags. In partnership with Advanced Disposal, a collection bin is located inside the Round County Courthouse. Flags may be dropped off Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindberg, Chanasty Davis, Wyatt Melton, Naya Ndweza, Jack Caudill, Shamarie Mosley, Nacogdoches Miller, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Karen Czar, KNN's Haley Hansen, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from the Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.